Today, we're going to go through the purpose test. This is the last test for Joseph, but we are still being tested today, every single one of us, to bring us into fulfillment of the dream God has placed in our hearts. And so as we learn about Joseph's purpose test, think about when you're going to really know what your full purpose in life is. We're going to stand together right now. We're going to honor God as we read Genesis 45, starting in verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all of his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there'll be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Heavenly Father, we rejoice that you sent Joseph ahead. Father, you've sent many ahead in our lives to prepare the way for us. Lord, help us to honor those people that you sent ahead. And Lord, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This will be our last test, as I mentioned. It's called the purpose test because this is when you finally learn what God put you here for. You are not, including not just Joseph, but you and I, we are not here by accident. God has placed us in this generation, in our communities, for His glory. You are not an accident, and you do have a purpose. Every single born-again son and daughter of God has a purpose. Every person on this earth that has not been born again also has a purpose in God's plan. And so we want to look at this together, as we see the fulfillment of God's purpose for Joseph's life. In Genesis 45:3 again, it says, "Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Is my father still living?' But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come close to me.' When they had done so, he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance.'" So let's talk about how Joseph came to know his purpose. Because by understanding how Joseph came to know his purpose, we can understand how to learn what our purpose is and why we're here. I think of an older lady, and that was my own mother. She would have been 91 at the time. And she, at the age of 91, she said, "I still don't know why God put me here." Folks, that's a shame. By 91, you'd think you have a pretty good idea, but she didn't. Shortly after that, she received Christ as her Savior. Shortly after that, she got saved, and suddenly she knew her purpose. Folks, this is an exciting time in life because Joseph isn't the only one that has a purpose. I don't know if you know it or not, but we are in the middle of a vast destruction of young lives today because so many young people don't feel they have any purpose or reason to live. Listen to what God says about your life. in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God is working in everybody in this room to help you, number one, to want to do his will, to want to know what his will is for your life, and number two, to actually do his will for your life. That's true for every single person on this earth. God wasn't just working in Joseph's life. God has worked in lives of people all from eternity past to bring about his will for their life, to bring glory to God and to bless other people. So let's look at some keys found in God's word of how Joseph finally learned what he was made for. Key number one, you have to believe that you have a God-given purpose. Joseph had to believe that. And all the terrible things that happened, Joseph just kept on believing the dream that God gave him. The dream was, you're going to be a leader. The revelation of the dream was that your mother and dad and your brothers are all going to bow down to you. But that's all God told Joseph. His mom and dad, his brothers, were going to bow down. But Joseph had no idea about the real big plan God had for him. All he knew is that he was made for leadership and he was meant to lead people. And so God wanted Joseph to understand that the Lord formed him for a purpose. In his mother's womb, when the union between his dad and his mother came together, Joseph was given natural gifts, certain things that didn't just come from his dad and his mom. It could have been in his genes from an uncle or an aunt with a special physical gift that he could do. For some of us, it's singing. For some people, it's they can work with their hands. I was out at the barn the other day hitting some golf balls, and my grandson Josh is out there, and he's pounding stakes in the ground because he's going to build a lean-to onto his barn. Let me tell you, he didn't get that from me. I don't have those kinds of abilities. I can build, and it'll be functional, but it won't be pretty. Josh put the steps at our back door after Mimi had her, Josh and Joel, after Mimi had her stroke, and it's beautiful. I couldn't have built it that good. He got a natural gift at birth, at conception, from God, for special things God would allow him to do. The same thing is true for you and I. In Psalm 139, verse 13, this is King David saying this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." What does that mean to you and I? That means in your mother's womb, God formed you exactly the way he wanted you to be. Well, I wish I was taller. I wish I was shorter. I wish I wasn't heavy. I wish I was not so thin. I don't like the fact I don't have hair. You can complain and grump all you want, but God made you exactly the way he wanted you. Or you can praise God for how he made you. Choice is yours. Choice is mine. But we have to realize we are not an accident. The sad thing is people are being taught that they just evolved. They're just a cosmic accident. So then what's the purpose of life? You live 80 years and you die. That's the big game. It's nothing. But when you realize God made me the special person that I am for a reason, I now have purpose in life. I can go forward in life rejoicing. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. My friends, this is your time. You were not born the date of your birth by accident. God put you at this time, in this place, not just this church, in wherever your community is, to represent Him, to bring Him glory in this lifetime, to make a difference. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And now here's the special part. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, before you were ever born, God had a particular work, not just one, a bunch of them, that He wants you to do. And He's equipped you in every way to do it. It isn't that He's asking you to do something you can't do. He's asking you to do something that He's prepared you to do. So it's exciting to me. Queen Esther, a lot of people don't know the story of Esther because they never read the book, but just take a quick look at Esther chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer, 'Do not think that because you're in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if it remains silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you've come to your royal position for such a time as this?'" Folks, if God has blessed you with a special blessing, He's got a purpose for that. It isn't just so you can be a big shot. It's so that you can use what God's given you to bless people in your lifetime. We can bless people when we're old. We can bless people when we're young. A lot of people, I visit a lot of nursing homes, and they say, "I just don't have any reason to live." I say, "Have you got grandchildren or great-grandchildren?" "Well, yes, I do." "Can you still pray for them?" "Well, yes, I could." Folks, do you know the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much in God's sight? Even when you can't run anymore, even when you can't get outside anymore, you can still pray. You still have a purpose. The Lord wants to use you. So number one, we have to believe God has a purpose for our life. Number two, because we sang that song in the valley and in the mountains, you know, there are going to be times you're going to be in the valley. And we have to believe that God is in control. You're not in your hard time by accident. God has allowed this in your life because it leads you forward in what He has for you. Accidents don't happen with God. Everything is under control. I know you look at life and you say, "Boy, this is really out of control. That Trump is putting all those tariffs on and everything's going to shoot through the roof. What's going on?" God's in control. Donald Trump is just a tool. I hope he does it right. He's doing a good job as far as I can tell so far. But we don't have to get all worked up and angry. We can say the Lord is in control. Even if things don't go the way I want them to right away, they're going to go the way God wants them to, and that's okay. God will fulfill His God-given dream for you if you'll learn and keep the idea that even though it doesn't seem like I'm going to get there, God is still in control, and He's going to use everything for my good and His glory. Where do we get that from? Look again at Genesis 45, verse 5. "And now do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been famine in the land. For the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Joseph believed, yes, what his brothers had done was wrong. But Joseph really believed God allowed it for what? For the good of all mankind. Do you understand? If God had not sent Joseph down to Egypt, your Savior would have never been born. If the Jewish race had died out, God's plan would have been thwarted. But none of God's plans are ever going to be thwarted. God always has the power to bring about good out of evil. And Joseph just kept believing that. When he went down to Egypt and was sold as a slave, Joseph believed somehow, God has given me a dream, I'm going to be a leader. And so Joseph, as a slave, was the best slave. And Potiphar, his master, put him in charge of his house. He's in leadership. When Potiphar's wife claimed that Joseph tried to rape her, and Joseph winds up in prison, he was the best prisoner that warden had ever seen. And the warden put him over the entire prison. Folks, God's plan will not be thwarted. Joseph didn't need to know all God's plan. All Joseph had to know was, God has made me a leader, and I'm going to be the best leader wherever God puts me. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, this is a verse, I can't tell you how much I believe you ought to memorize this, and you ought to think about it often. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those that love him, for the good of those that are called according to his purpose. Our problem is, we want to tell God what our purpose is. Do you think you're smarter than God? And the sad thing is, many people will say, yeah, I think I know me better than God does. No, you don't. God has a purpose for you, and if you will love him, and if you'll submit to his purpose for your life, he'll bring it to reality just like he did for Joseph. In Isaiah 55, verse 10, it says that the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Our God has a purpose. Let me just ask you, are you joyful about looking at the future and saying, my life is going to have meaning? Or are you pessimistic about the future and think, all this stuff is against me? I have a hard time with everything. Folks, the Lord wants you to be optimistic. God is in charge, and he loves you. And that doesn't mean he loves you because you're a perfect person, because there's not a perfect person in this room. God loves you, and he wants to bless you. He's got a plan for your life, and if you'll trust him, he'll bring it to fruition. Key number 3, discover your gifts and your direction. Do you know your gifts from God? Are you able to sing beautifully? If you can sing beautifully, that's not from you. That's God. If you have ability to lead, that's not you. That's God's gift to you. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything that you have is a gift to you. And God is just asking you, will you use it for his glory? That's the difference in a life. If it's all about you, you're going to use your giftedness for your good and your family's good, but phooey on everybody else. But if you say, the Lord is Lord, and he's gifted me, and I want to glorify him with my life, what he's given me, life makes sense, man, and life has meaning, and life is wonderful. Joseph's gift was leadership. He was a leader even as a boy in his family. He was a leader in jail. He was a leader as a slave. He just kept leading. And then God opened the floodgates. Here's a wonderful promise for you found in Proverbs 18, verse 16. A gift, that's God's gift to you, opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. Folks, if you will shine up your gift, if you know that your ability is maybe writing books, if you'll write for God's glory and you'll give your heart to it, he'll make you a great writer. I don't care what your gift is. All of us are different. But God wants to use it. And when you hone it and you work at it for God's glory, that gift will open doors for you that you won't believe could have possibly happened. God says your gift properly used is going to open doors. If God's given you a motivational gift, and several of those motivational gifts are talked about in Romans chapter 12. As I read this list, see if you see yourself here. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's in giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Folks, once you know what your gift is, and you really go after it, that's what's going to bring you the greatest joy in life. You're going to know why you're here. You're going to know what you're supposed to be doing while you're here. And the dream that God gave you is going to come to fruition. It did for Joseph. So you might have a few questions about that. Number one, are the specifics relating to my purpose? Are there specifics? Yes, there are. God is very specific. God doesn't create things for no purpose. Everything God has ever created has a purpose. Number two, can I know the specifics? Yes, you can know the specifics. And then the third one, this is the hardest one. When can I know the specifics? Right after you do them, and not a minute before. Joseph had no idea he was going to be ruler of Egypt. In one day, he went out of that prison dungeon into the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he was made the second most powerful man on the earth in his day. He had no idea. Folks, when you're faithful in little, God says he'll make you ruler over much. But you have to be faithful in the little. Maybe you're on a job that you just can't hardly stand that job. I'm sure Joseph wasn't too crazy about being in that prison and being leadership in a prison. But do it with all your heart. And when you do it with all your heart, God will move you to the next step. But it's important to be faithful where you are. Don't say, I hate my job and I'm just not going to work. I'll get the paycheck, but I'm not doing it. You can't move forward that way. I'm going to do whatever God calls me to do with all my heart. Then God can trust you in the next step. In Isaiah 64, verse 8, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Can you imagine a pot saying to the potter, hey, don't grip me so tight. Hey, don't put me in the furnace. Don't paint me. God has a purpose. He's the potter. He's going to put you through some things. And some of those things you're not going to like. But if you realize God's up to something really, really good, you can say, Lord, I accept this. Put me in the furnace. Heat it up. Whatever it takes to get me to what you have made me for. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Sometimes that little word if is an awful big word. Because in your marriage, things can come to a real loghead, and you're just not getting along. And I just want to give up on this. And God says, don't give up. Hang on. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, and I'm going to bless this thing. I can't tell you how many marriages I've seen right on the rocks, ready to end, and both turned to God. And God restored beyond what they ever had the relationship. God can do that. Sometimes we really feel like giving up. I want to read you a story about a man that all of you know, but maybe you don't know his story very well. At age 22, this man failed in business. At 23, he ran for state legislature and was defeated. At 24, he again failed in business. At 25, he was elected to the state legislature. At 26, his wife died. At 27, he had a nervous breakdown. At 29, he was defeated for Speaker of the State House. At 31, he was defeated for an elector. At 34, he was defeated for the U.S. Congress. At 37, he was elected to the U.S. Congress. At 39, he was again defeated for the U.S. Congress. At 39, he was again defeated for the U.S. Congress. And at 46, He was defeated for the U.S. Senate. At 47, he was defeated for Vice President of the United States. At 49, he was defeated for the U.S. Senate again. At 51, he was elected President of the United States. And of course, that man was Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln knew he was meant to be a leader. He didn't know how, he didn't know where, he just knew God made him to be a leader. And he simply didn't give up. Folks, it's so important you understand. Things are going to go against you. Don't give up. Keep after it. Abraham Lincoln was elected as President of the United States, and Abraham Lincoln did away with the second most grievous sin our nation has ever done, and that was slavery. There were approximately 4 million slaves when Abraham Lincoln was elected as President of the United States. And you may wonder, well, Pastor, what do you mean his second most important sin? Because the greatest sin our nation has ever been involved with is still going on today. The greatest sin, as far as I'm concerned, you may have a different one, is abortion. Over 73 million, not 4 million, 73 million babies have been put to death. President Trump, you may like him, you may not like him, I don't know. But he honestly feels God has made him for leadership, and he's trying to lead. In his last term, President Trump said that abortion is not legal for the nation. He sent it back to the states. And I praise the Lord for that. Abortion is not guaranteed across the country. And we have almost half the states now that have banned abortion entirely. But we happen to live in a state that still has abortion. In fact, the abortion rate in Michigan is higher now than it was before. What we need is young people coming up to say, God has called me to leadership, and I'm going to run for office, and I'm going to go against abortion in our state. Folks, that's what's needed. Young people to say, I'm called to be a leader. Maybe I won't be a senator in Michigan. Maybe I can only get to a lesser job in the community. But I'm going to work towards ending this terrible sin in our nation. Because the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But it also tells us that a nation that deliberately sins against God is going to come under judgment. We need young people to realize their giftedness, to move forward for God, to say, I don't know how far I can go, but I'm going to get going. I'm going to give my life to end this thing. And somebody's going to do it. I don't know if it would be somebody here or somebody else, but somebody's going to do it, I believe with all my heart. So the last step, set your course and be faithful. Even when those hard times come, because they are going to come, even in those hard times, stay faithful. Being faithful is the key to all these areas. We need to be faithful in humility. I didn't make myself. It's not my life. If you're a Christian, whether you know it or not, the Bible says it's not your life. You now belong to God, and it's His life. Be faithful to perseverance. So many people get almost to winning the battle, but they fold up. Keep going. Be faithful to good steward of God's blessings, and be faithful to whatever God's called you to. I don't know what He's equipped. I think we probably have some future teachers here. Maybe we've got some future people that are going to be pastors. I don't know. But I do know this. If you stay faithful, and you're faithful in those small things of life, God's going to move you forward. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, even if God were to change our nation's status and some of us might become slaves, I know you laugh at that because that'll never happen. Well, General Motors was never going to go bankrupt either, but they did. Things can happen. He says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. None of us are slaves right now. But we do work for a master. Somebody's over us on our jobs or something. Don't do whatever you do half-hearted. Give your heart to it. When you do, God will do amazing things. Again, Joseph did not know all the specifics, but Joseph knew God had a plan. God put a dream in his heart, and Joseph kept at it. I want to tell you one more story about perseverance because this is so important. If you don't persevere, you are never going to reach the potential God has put in you. This is a story from John Wesley's diary. Sunday morning, May 5th, preached in St. Anne's and was asked never to come back again. Sunday night, May 5th, preached at St. John's. Deacon said to me, get out and stay out. Sunday morning, May 12th, he's just keeping going. Preached in St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday morning, May 19th, preached at St. somewhere else. Deacons called a special meeting and said I can never return to their church. Sunday night, May 19th, I preached on the street and was kicked off the street. Sunday morning, May 26th, I preached in the meadow, chased out of the meadow because someone turned a bull loose during the service. Sunday morning, June 2nd, preached on the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday night, June 2nd, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came to hear me. Think of that. Churches kicking him out, and all at once he became the most famous preacher in England. You have to persevere. John Wesley was a man who knew what his dream was. He knew where he started, and he knew what God wanted him to accomplish. Folks, God has great things in mind for every single one of us. Not great, not most of us are not called like a pastor like myself. I'm not called to preach at a 2,000 or 5,000 member church. That's beyond me. But I am called to preach. You're called to something else. Meet your full potential. Go as far as the Lord has gifted you. God gifts all of us differently. But the good news is he does gift us all. And he wants us to use it for his glory. As long as we do, we're going to pass the purpose test. Our lives are going to have meaning now, and we're going to be rewarded for all eternity simply because we were faithful. Father, bless us now as we turn our hearts again to the communion service. Help us, Lord, to examine our lives because sin will keep us from fulfilling what you have in mind for us. We need to be pure in our hearts. And Lord, this is an opportunity again for us to search our hearts. Father, prepare us, use us for your glory, and we're going to give you the praise in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.